Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Sustainability in the Sea, an ocean-minded podcast for ocean people so that we can explain all of the solutions going on around the world to protect our one shared ocean. My name's Carissa Cabrera, I'm your host and the CEO and founder of the Conservationist Collective, and today we are going to be talking about the value of attending ocean or climate conferences because I just returned from Miami Beach, Florida, where I attended Aspen Ideas Climate. So let's get into it. This episode is for people who are early career, who are looking for tools, who are trying to ramp up their name in the field, and for those of us that are willing to work globally as well as locally. So thank you for being here and welcome to Sustainability and the Sea. Okay, so this is just a solo episode today. I went to Aspen Ideas Climate specifically for the Future Leaders Conference, which was a three-day mini conference of young people under 35 who gathered. And then afterwards, there was a larger conference during the week of tons of people, and I was only able to stay for one or 2 days of that. So first of all, what are climate conferences? Conferences are usually hosted and sponsored by a number of folks, but this one was put on specifically by the Aspen Institute, and it's a gathering space for people who work in the same field to come together and learn from one another, network, build relationships, and really kind of push the envelope on a lot of things. So conferences were shut down or transitioned virtually during the pandemic. So this was one of the first ones that I've been to post-pandemic that was completely in person and without masks. So climate conferences specifically focus on a number of different topics within the climate space. Like, for example, in this one, there was a ton of climate tech. There was a lot of clean energy and electrification. And they usually bring speakers in from all around the world. So for the larger conference, there was Vice President Kamala Harris. There were CEOs of foundations, philanthropists. There were airlines. There were electric vehicle companies. And there were nonprofit organizations, institutions, scientists, researchers, speakers. And there were also youth. So the Future Leaders cohort of this was around 250 individuals under 35 who are working in climate-related work around the world. Something that was really cool about the Future Leaders segment was that there was over half of the people were from other countries. And so it really was like a global audience. And that's really what I wanted to focus on today is the value of climate conferences for you as a listener as you try to scale up your work and your recognizability within the space. So the value of conferences, oh, my dad's texting me, cute. The value of conferences, there's a handful, but I'm going to talk about this from my own perspective. So I'm an ocean climate conservationist. I'm a solutionist. I've been in the field for a while. I work with nonprofits. I work in media. I work in conservation content creation. And I really wanted to communicate that intersection. So the primary value of conferences is actually networking. It's not just the sessions that you go to and who you learn from. It's the relationships that you build there. So for a lot of the folks that I know that work in those niches, I don't see them. You know, I live in Hawaii. That's pretty isolating. I am not going to a lot of the mainland events that are happening throughout the year. And so it's really an opportunity to reunite with people that I may only know online or through online spaces. And it's also an opportunity to build your network and meet new people. And I got the most out of that during the Future Leaders section of it because it was a ton of young people. And young people are exciting, they're invigorated, they're hopeful, and they're ready to, you know, hit the pedal to the floor when it comes to accelerating these solutions. So I would say that networking is the primary value of conferences. Also because, you know, when you live in different places, networking is often only, you know, happening via Zoom. It's less organic, it's less personal. And going off of networking, also relationships. So someone, a friend of mine, Tyler, he was sharing, like, you know, one of the coolest things about conferences is, you know, we're all just humans, right? You just get to come together and be humans. And that's one of the great parts that isn't necessarily highlighted in the formal session. Like, there's drinks after the conferences, there's going to the beach, there's going on walks, there's private conversations, there's larger conversations, there's group chats, there's excursions. There was a field trip to a lab on coral restoration, which was really cool. And so you get to really accelerate those relationships and be provided the opportunity to have one-on-one intimate conversations with people that you look up to or that you want to learn more about. And then the final value, key value of conferences for me is really getting a global understanding of where your niche is at. So just as an aside, there, I told you there were 250 future leaders. There were thousands of people for the main conference. But of those people, I mean, gosh, there was less than 20 focused on ocean. And you guys know, like, the ocean is our biggest carbon sink. It covers 70% of our planet. It has unlimited potential when it comes to combating and mitigating the climate emergency. And so there's such an opportunity to integrate ocean solutions into climate solutions because, frankly, in my opinion, it's our answer to fighting the climate crisis. And so I was glad to see those 10, 20 people talking about oceans, but also there needs to be more. And when it comes to the global understanding piece of the value of conferences, you know, I work locally. I work really, sometimes I'm in the weeds, I'm in the trenches of what's going on locally in my region. And what I found is a lot of people there are, you know, sometimes it's hard to look outside of your sphere and outside of your bubble. And these conferences give you an opportunity to see what people are doing in their specific area. So for example, I went to this coastal resiliency session, which was incredible. It was an all women panel. And there were folks from Alaska, New York, New England, Cape Cod. And they were all talking about how regenerative ocean farming, that's like kelp, oysters, aquaculture initiatives, and there was an awesome piece on blue infrastructure design. So like how we can make our coastlines more integrated with the ocean and how the land and seascape solutions when it comes to sea level rise and coastal erosion. And so that session, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going on in New York when it comes to coastal resilience. I know what's going on in Hawaii, but it was so informative to learn how a large city, the largest city in the U.S., is handling this versus me, as in who lives in an island region, how we're handling it. And that left me with a new perspective. And also, the best part about this is you leave really inspired with hope because you learn about all of the people and what they're doing and just how many people are in this fight alongside of you, whereas sometimes it can feel isolating, you know? And when you're in a room with people who are literally using their own unique, beautiful skill set to scale these types of conservation or natural resource management or climate or indigenous-led solutions, you really just feel that sense of belonging of something that is like so much bigger than yourself. And that's where I get so much of my own like energy towards this, is by feeling like I am part of this collective movement and we're all doing exactly what we can. So those are the things I think are the most valuable when it comes to these types of conferences. It's one of my goals to go to more and to go to more global conferences that are more ocean specific, just because I really did see a lot of climate representatives that are not ocean related. And I think that there's just so much more opportunity to get into the weeds of it. So I was a speaker and I led a session alongside a few others, Amelia Sujic of Sustainable Ocean Alliance, Bodhi Patil of Parley for the Oceans, and Cyrielle Noel, who focuses on blue planning in urban areas. And we led a presentation on ocean health, human health, which is a framework that Bodhi and I are working on to help really connect conservation of the ocean to benefit for humanity and people, to make it more personal. And I got to focus on solutions that were going on that were at pilot scale but could be scaled up so that people would leave feeling hopeful. I was specifically highlighting community-based and indigenous-led solutions like Kuleana Coral Restoration, which is based out of Oahu that I work with in development. I highlighted Surf Conservation Partnership, with it, which is an initiative led by Save the Waves Coalition and Conservation International. They're trying to advance the 30 by 30 goal by establishing protected areas at surf spots that are also biodiversity hotspots. And then I also highlighted Hawaii Green Fee, which is a local policy here to finance conservation and climate using the tourism industry. So outside of that, we also focused on deep seabed mining and how a moratorium is essential right now as we pave the way to electrification, but also the value of a high seas treaty and things like that. It was a really invigorating session, and our goal of it was so that everybody would leave knowing that they felt connected to the ocean, because really we are all the ocean, and I think that we successfully did that. So if you are going to a conference, and I'm going to conclude this episode by sharing how you can go to conferences going forward, but if you're going to a conference, this is my best pieces of advice when it comes to maximizing the value that you're getting out of the conference. And it takes a little bit of preparation, and you gotta think about it a little bit before you arrive, which is sometimes hard. So the first thing is that you want to kind of at least loosely plan your agenda, your session. So many conferences have an app, and it'll tell you like what's going on. Sessions are concurrent often, so you get put in a position where you have to choose between sessions that you might like. For example, there were only two ocean sessions during the Future Leaders segment, and they were both at the same time. I led one, and then there was another one, so I wasn't able to go to the other one, which was unfortunate. But so you want to plan your sessions. Download the app, take a look at the agenda, and really decide which ones spark your interest. So obviously I wanted to go to most of the ocean ones, but there were also things that I really wanted to learn more about, like carbon dioxide removal. There's some ocean-based CDR stuff that I felt like I wanted to leave with a better understanding of, and so I went to those. And then there were also some disinformation and misinformation sessions led by my friend, Abby Richards, who is a researcher in the space, and she really, unveiled the way that the fossil fuel industry has perpetuated misinformation and disinformation for decades. And we actually got to do role playing, which was super cool, where we got to be a climate advocate or a fossil fuel CEO. And we got to think about ways to, like, from their perspective of how they're going to influence the general public. So plan your sessions, get an idea of what you want, and stick with that. Things might change, but if you go in without a plan, you might like miss opportunities to go to sessions that could really, really benefit your specific focus of work. The second is research. So research the people who are speaking and the topics and the organizations or institutions that they represent. So, I was really interested in a regenerative ocean farming session. And then I looked up all the panelists, and I, checked out the websites of the entities that they represented, and I was prepared so that when they were talking about it during the panel, I had the context of what they specifically work on. So that really helped. That could be as simple as, looking at the website of the organization. It could be as simple as looking and following their LinkedIn profile, and just research a little bit. And this can kind of like be tacked on to planning your sessions. I think that, to be honest, both of those could take an hour or less, depending on how long your conference is. The third thing is, set up meetings. If during your research in your sessions, you are, or in your session research, you're like, wow, this is extremely valuable. This person sounds so cool. Send them a LinkedIn message and ask them if they want to meet up, and get it on the schedule, or at least, get their phone number or WhatsApp so that you can connect with them in person. I really feel like I didn't take advantage of this during this past conference at Aspen Ideas, because I was looking at these people on stage and I was like, wow, if I just had like 15 minutes with them, I feel like I could just learn so much and also give so much from my niche that could help them. And so, set up those meetings. A lot of my friends did that with philanthropists for funding needs, and it's a really helpful way to personalize your work and, make them remember who you are afterwards. And going off of that, you probably want to have a business card. You don't have to, you know, print them out, but there's this app called Blink, B-L-I-N-Q, and it's like a digital business card and it has everything. And so a lot of the future leaders, those, you know, the younger ones were tech savvy. We were using Blink, but everyone else in the larger conference seemed to have like a business card that was actually hard copy. So come prepared. And then finally, to maximize impact, you really want to have fun. I kind of talked about how, you know, this is just like, you know, we're all just humans. And so some of the best conversations that I had were after all the sessions wrapped, when we went to the beach for sunset, a few of us, and just like, you know, those types of conversations that are really natural and just remind you that, you know, we're all just people working really hard about the things that we care about. And those are the memories that I'm going to remember a year from now, is probably not exactly what was said in every session, but, you know, those memories that were built on the beaches or walking on the coast or at the lab and things like that. So the last section of this is a short episode, is how do you go to a conference? You know, maybe you've never been to one before. How do you want to get these opportunities? So I will say that a lot of attendees, the main format of it is that you pay to go, right? And so a lot of attendees, you know, the company that they work for would finance that. And so if you work for an organization or a for-profit business, you can explore that avenue. I've never done that, so I don't feel like equipped to describe it to you of how to go around those details. But what ends up happening is around 6 months, 6 to 9 months before the conference, they'll put a call out on their website for you to apply to go. There's scholarships, there's fellowships, there's speaking opportunities, and you can apply. And so I applied for the Future Leaders cohort in the fall. So it's March now, and that's when the conference took place. So I applied in like September or October, and then I found out around December or January that I would be going. And then because of that application process, they covered flights, they covered lodging, and they covered my access pass to the larger conference. And that's the best way to do it, especially if you're early career, if you're a student. There's a lot of opportunities in this conference to bring young people there. And so if you're a student, this is actually like the best time to start applying. They really want to make sure that the next generation is being equipped with this knowledge and information sharing opportunity. So in order to kind of find out when those applications are opening, I would just look up the conferences that are happening in your area or in your area of expertise. So like ocean climate conferences for me, and then you want to follow them on social media. Instagram seem to be sufficient, and subscribe to their newsletter, and they will, you know, send out a call for applications beforehand. And if you don't do that, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, roughly in 6 months before, I'll just like check their website. Like, don't do that. Just subscribe to their newsletter, express interest, things like that. You can also connect with on LinkedIn. Like, you know, you can sometimes see who works for what. And so Aspen Ideas is put on by the Aspen Institute. So you can look up the folks that work there and reach out to them directly as a more forward approach to kind of getting access to that. Another piece is that there are certain accelerator programs that'll finance you going to conferences that are independent from the conference, especially if you're like a young person, which is like under 30 or under 35. So Sustainable Ocean Alliance is one. And I'm trying to ultimately go to more, right, without having to invest. You know, sometimes the access pass to these conferences are like $1,500 to $3,000, and that's just simply not accessible for young people. And so you really want to stay up to date and in the know, especially if you have like a certain conference that you saw someone you look up to go to. Just go follow their website, newsletter, and social media. And I think that's like the easiest way to find out. And then the second way is to just kind of keep an eye out by, you know, periodically checking the conference websites. A lot of, as someone who's put on summits and conferences before, planning begins not a year in advance, but between like around 8 months in advance. And sometimes speakers like aren't even really established till like 3 months before the conference. So a lot of logistics, it gets faster and more work, and a lot of logistics are worked out during that home stretch. And so even just reaching out in advance. So you reach out like 6 or 7 months in advance and they're like, we're not ready yet, blah, 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 blah. Just reach out again, right? And just make those opportunities happen for yourself. And then the last piece of advice is if you know someone who's been to that conference, reach out to them and ask them how they went, and, you know, we'll information share within our community. So all in all, I really think that especially while you're young and establishing your career, attending at least a few of these over the course of your 20s is really valuable because of how much it can catapult your ability to make change outside of your specific region. And I'm really grateful that I went. I'm so grateful to Aspen Ideas for including me as a speaker. I'm so grateful that there are more climate conferences going on. I'm so grateful that the ocean is being integrated, and, you know, there, we need more ocean people at these conferences. So please come and, you know, remember that you have so much value to share no matter your age, no matter your credentials. There is so much value in your work. Like, we had people there for the future leaders. Like, they were like in high school. They're like freshly 18. Like, there's no, you don't have to be a certain age to participate in this. And there's no, there's not as much barriers to access as much as there used to be. So definitely take advantage of it. I think this is such a valuable tool in your ocean conservation toolkit, which is why I wanted to make this episode. So I did share some updates about the conference on my social media at Carissa and Climate, if you guys want to check it out. And hopefully they have a gallery up soon. But if you want to like try to attend Aspen next year, I think their social media handle is Aspen Future Leaders, and then Aspen Ideas. They put on a few different events, so they have a separate one for the Future Leaders cohort. And I'm leaving this conference, first of all, hopeful. I'm inspired. So many new friends and colleagues, so many new projects in the pipeline that are a product of creative thinking of us together. And hopefully, you know, we're turning back next year. So yeah, I hope this was as valuable to you as it could have been, because I think that conferences are really just a way for you to broaden your horizons and develop new perspectives. So this one was quick, but I hope it was valuable. And thanks for listening to Sustainability and the Sea.